There is a particular fault that Moses describes in the book of Deuteronomy that Israel messed up. He points back to the time at Mount Sinai, and in this speech in Deuteronomy, he points out to them a failure that occurred at Mount Sinai, even before the golden calf. In Exodus chapter 20, when God gave the commandments, his voice boomed across the sky, speaking the 10 words to Israel. Israel responded. Do you remember how Israel responded when they heard God's voice speaking the 10 commandments? They were terrified. And not only were they terrified, that's right, but what did they say? Very good. Excellent. That's very good. That's right. They said, Moses, you go talk to God and you come back and tell us the commandments that God has for us. Effectively, they were saying, God, we are too afraid of your presence. We don't want to hear your voice. You just speak to Moses and let him tell us what it is that we need to know, which actually is exactly what happened, which is exactly what God did, and it was exactly what they shouldn't have done. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses tells them, reminds them now of what had happened those decades earlier. He says, remember when you said, well, what person has ever heard the voice of God and actually lived to tell about it? Who has heard the voice of God and been afraid, but heard what God, but has survived because they heard God's voice? Moses tells them, he chides them because they were unwilling to listen, to hear what God had to say. They were unwilling to have ears. They were unwilling to have their ears open. Even before the sin of the golden calf at Mount Sinai, the first thing that I see, one of the first things that I see that Israel failed was the willingness to hear the Lord speaking. This week's Torah portion, Netzavim, which means standing, of course you're all sitting at the moment, is one of the shortest Torah portions in the entire Torah. In fact, it is only 40 verses long. It's not even two full chapters. However, the word listen or hear occurs 8 times in these 40 verses. That's once every 5 verses on average. Moses is telling them, listen. Remember how you didn't listen, but now you need to learn to hear God speaking. You need to learn to perceive God's voice. You need to be willing to hear the Most High. Because God desired them to hear. God desired them to know how to listen. Also, in Deuteronomy, we're told God had said to Moses at Mount Sinai, assemble the people, cause them to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere, to hold me in awe, and that they may teach it to their children. How, what was it in God's mind that they were going to learn? How was it that they were going to fear God? How was it that they were going to know how to teach their children? It was only through first being able to hear the voice of God, to perceive God's voice. And though for them, at least, it was really scary, as Maureen said, terrifying, it was a failure of our people. Throughout the book of Deuteronomy, we have language that repeats over and over again. As you read the book, it's amazing to see how many times Israel is encouraged to love the Lord, seek the Lord, fear the Lord, observe his commandments, obey him. Language like this is basically at the heart of Deuteronomy. Love the Lord, follow after him, cleave to him, hold on to God. Don't let God go. Serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. It's really encouraging stuff. But it's amazing, and I've just uncovered this, and this to me is really exciting. And it's really thought-provoking. Because as I explored Deuteronomy this week, it was amazing to see how many times in those same contexts where it says, be sure, Moses says, be sure you always love God. Be sure you always serve him. Make sure you always hold on to God tight. Learn how to obey him. Before Moses would say those things, he would say, make sure you listen so that you can love him, serve him, fear him. For instance, in Deuteronomy, before one learns to fear God, they must listen. Chapter 31, verse 13. Before one is able to keep the commandments, one must listen. Chapter 28, chapter 30. Before anyone in the book of Deuteronomy, according to Moses, can do any of God's commandments, they must first listen. Curse five times in the book of Deuteronomy. It says, Moses would say, listen so that you will be able to do the commands of God. Additionally, before someone in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 13, can love and serve God, it first said, listen to God. Before someone can guard and observe the right things, they must first listen. That phraseology occurs five times in the book of Deuteronomy. And then finally, before someone can reverence or fear God, they must first listen. In chapter 17, chapter 19, chapter 21. I'm really aware of all that language. It's very Deuteronomy-like. The prophets, the later prophets, talk about serving God and loving God in very Deuteronomy-style language. But I was never fully aware that first it talked about listening. Before, in other words, before someone can learn fear, guard, keep, do, love, serve, or hold in awe. In the book of Deuteronomy, in all of those cases, listening and hearing came first. I can give you those references if you're interested. I also found it very interesting in the paragraph from a couple Torah portions back a couple weeks ago about the rebellious child. I found it interesting how the rebellious child was described when I was looking at it, thinking about what it means to listen to God. In those two verses describing a rebellious child, three times it said that they do not hear. It says, a parent who has a child who will not hear them is to discipline them. Because they will not hear, they will then bring them to the community leaders and say to the community leaders, third time, our child will not listen. They will not hear. Three times in that scenario, how do you know someone is rebellious? It's if they repeatedly refuse to have ears to hear. If they will not listen, that defines what a rebellious spirit is. I found that really intriguing. Finally, in chapter 30, verse 17, which is part of this week's Torah portion, actually, it says, if your heart turns and you will not listen and you are led astray to serve other gods and bow down to them and worship them and so forth. That whole series, that whole process of how one moves away from God, it begins by your heart being tempted. Your heart being tempted because you will not listen. And then you are led astray. In other words, someone is not led astray from the Most High unless they first stop listening to him. Do you see why it peeved Moses so much that the people at Mount Sinai had said, Moses, we don't want to listen to God. You just go talk to him for us. That was the first step down the path of moving away from relationship with the Most High. In this week's Torah portion also, chapter 30, verses 2 and verse 8, it says, speaking of someone who wants to return to God, what do you think the first thing is? The first thing someone must do if they want to return to God is to listen to him. Amazingly, it doesn't say the first thing you do is start obeying the commandments. I found that intriguing. I had never caught that before. What do you do if you want to return? The first thing you do, this Torah portion, chapter 30, if anyone of you wants to return to God, you must listen. But listening is not as easy as you think it is. In last week's Torah portion, in chapter 29, Moses said, to this day, The Lord has not given you a mind to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear during the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness. Moses says, from when I left Egypt with you until now, during these 40 years, you are still growing in your understanding, your mind being capable to understand, your ears being able to hear, your eyes being able to see. Moses is saying it's not as easy to listen and perceive God's voice as we might at first think it is. He goes on in that context to describe what God was doing for them so that their ears would be open. He describes how their shoes didn't wear out and they were fed every day. God led them and God fought their battles. God was wanting to teach them how to hear, encourage them to have open ears. But Moses points out that learning to understand and learning to hear can be difficult. It takes time to have ears that hear. There's a story that exists, and it may not be true, about George Armstrong Custer. He was a general in the 7th Cavalry of the United States. He was a West Point graduate. He was came through the ranks of the U.S. military during the Civil War, and in fact played a small but very decisive role in the Battle of Gettysburg. About a dozen years later, the U.S. government sent Custer to on a mission to communicate with the Lakota natives in along the banks of the Upper Missouri and Yellowstone rivers. There in 1876, he encounters what is perhaps the largest gathering of natives on the northern plains that ever assembled. And part of his army is entirely annihilated by the Native Americans, by the Lakota Sioux. There is a story that surfaced decades later about his death. It wasn't corroborated at that time, at the time of his death, when he was discovered and buried. But a story surfaced coming from the Native Americans many decades later that after Custer died, some women, Lakota women, took ladies or guys too, you have the yarn, and it's not crochet, it's the other thing with the long sticks.
Knitting,
thank you. I thought yesterday, and I could not think of that. All I could think of was crochet. Some Lakota women took their knitting needles and stuck them in his ears. And in order to, so that in the life, in their perspective, not a biblical worldview at all, that, the Native Americans have, but in their worldview, that if his ears were pierced with these knitting needles, in his next life, he would be able to hear. he would have ears to listen instead of riding into this Sioux camp to attack the Sitting Bull. The chief there claimed later that he would have gladly talked and negotiated with Custer instead of being drawn into a battle with him, right or wrong. But I found that very interesting, and I remembered that story about Custer. They stuck knitting needles and poked his eardrums so that he'd have open ears, so that in his next life he'd actually be able to hear what people are saying. His ears wouldn't be closed. And I found that so intriguing, because that's really what we need. We need open ears. In Jeremiah chapter 6, it says that we are to have circumcised ears. It's the only place in the Tanakh, I believe, that refers to that. Usually it's circumcised hearts. Moses spoke of circumcised hearts in Deuteronomy. But the prophet Jeremiah talks about we need to have circumcised ears. In other words, we need to remove whatever's in there. We can take out of our ears so that we can hear and understand what God wants to say to us. Stephen in Acts 7 picks up on this idea when he is making that speech against the judges that are going to condemn him to death. Stephen accuses them of having, Acts 7 verse 51, having uncircumcised hearts and ears. He throws both accusations at them. You guys have hard hearts and ears that refuse to hear. But Moses also promised that a prophet would come, Deuteronomy chapter 18. A prophet would come who would be like Moses. Not a false prophet. Moses contrasts and shows us how to discern between false prophets and accurate, true prophets. He says, when a true prophet like me comes, you must, and here's the phrase, you must listen to him. Because God's words will be in him. It's kind of like it carries forward the idea from Mount Sinai. You wouldn't listen to God's words at Mount Sinai, but you must listen to the prophet who comes along to speak God's words. And Yeshua claims to have been that prophet. I am the prophet that Moses proclaimed, who he said, listen to him. Yeshua is the one that has come to speak to us, the one that has, through whom we hear God's words. Yeshua claims to be speaking the very words of the Most High. When Yeshua went through that brilliant, glorious dry cleaning process. Remember, they call it the Transfiguration. But there was a voice from heaven, a bat kol, a voice from heaven that said, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." God himself picks up on this idea. Listen to him. Yeshua is the prophet that we must listen to. Interestingly, in 1 John, John tells us that it is also the messianic community that carries the prophetic voice. As John says, We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Rabbi Shaul tells young Timothy, what you have heard, keep with faith and love in Messiah Yeshua. Guard the good deposit with help from the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Paul tells him several things. Guard the deposit of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. He tells him that you do this with trust, faith, and love. But before any of that, he says, this is done by holding on to what you have heard, the message we have heard. Finally, John 8, Yeshua says, the one who belongs to God hears what God says. The one who belongs to God listens to what God says. And Yeshua told the ones who did not believe him, he said, you do not believe me, you do not hear what I am saying because you do not belong to God. What is the most important commandment in Scripture? Very good. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema Yisrael, we've said it already like three times today in our service. Yeshua said the very most important commandment, Mark 12, is this same thing. Listen. Listen, Israel. Listen up. Listen to the voice of God. It goes on to say, and you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart. You are to teach them diligently to your children. You are to talk about them. These commandments are to be on your heart. They're to be in your conversation. They are to be on the doorpost of your house and on the gates of your cities. But before any of that can happen, Israel has to first listen. Listening comes before anything else. How amazing. Yeshua says in Revelation chapter 3 to a congregation that is being addressed there, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we'll have lunch together. That's what it says. I will eat with you and you will eat with me. By the way, that passage is written to believers. It's always asserted. I always hear that in come to Jesus speeches. For unbelievers, that thing about I'm knocking on your door, it's actually written to believers. I'll let you think about that. But note that Yeshua's knocking, the first thing that we have to do is listen. We have to be able to hear it. Before we can open the door and let him in, we have to hear and sense and have the sensitivity to God to have a soft enough heart to be able to listen, to hear his voice. That comes before anything else. If we're not listening for the voice of God, we are otherwise unable to serve him, to obey him, to fear him, those things I described a few minutes ago. Rabbi Jeff Feinberg, one of my favorite messianic commentators has said, how does one listen to God? How does one hear the voice of God? He put it this way. One listens to God's voice by opening his or her inner person in order to hear. Opening our inner person in order to hear God's voice. It's not likely that it's going to come like it did at Mount Sinai, with wind and fire and lightning and thunder. This is why the Holy Spirit is so important. The Holy Spirit is implanted in our lives to guide us, to teach us. Yeshua, I think I have something written down about this. Yes, John 16, verse 13. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. That's good. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you. Like Yeshua, the Holy Spirit is not on the same level with God. Both of them must speak only what they hear the Father say. It says, the Spirit of truth will lead you into all the understanding that you need. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears. And you must listen to the Spirit of truth within you. We must cultivate an openness to God's Spirit within our lives. And by the way, that happens, part of that cultivation happens through seeking God, fearing God, obeying God, and so forth. It happens also through community. As we're told, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. We are not just a collection of so many individuals. We are one body. And so together, we can provide checks and balances for each other. You know, am I hearing God right on this? Finally, the reading for this week from the New Covenant passage is in John chapter 15. It's a beautiful passage where Yeshua says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Stay in me and you'll bear fruit. Don't get outside of me and you will not bear fruit. It's a lovely image of our relationship with Yeshua. He said, you are clean because of the words you have heard. It's like verse 3 or 4. You're clean because of the words you have heard. You are listening. If you want to remain in Yeshua, you must learn how to listen to Yeshua. You must learn how to cultivate intimacy with Yeshua. You must learn how to stay in him. Yeshua, in fact, says, stick with me, and I'll stick with you. He said, then you will be fruitful. How does it all start in that chapter? It describes how it starts by how we hear his words. how we're willing to listen. We are clean because of what we have heard. And then finally, the last verse of our section there is verse 11. Then my joy will be in you, and your joy will be full. Two things. So check this out. When all of this happens, you know, God prunes us, God cleans us, he speaks and we listen, we develop intimacy with him, we stick like glue to Messiah. He says, then my joy will be in you. God, Yeshua says, I didn't come to give joy like the world gives joy. That kind of joy doesn't last very long. I've come to give you peace and joy that comes from the Most High. Yeshua says, I've come to give you my joy. Man, that must be some awesome trip. That's Yeshua's joy. And when you have that, your joy will be full and complete, overflowing. Because we've learned to cultivate intimacy with the Most High. He speaks and we listen. We're responsive to the Holy Spirit within us. As we learn together to walk a path that says, God, where do I go? What do I do? I'm willing, God, for you to lead me, not my will, but your will be done. That is an attitude where we can hear and understand what God wants to say to us. We learn to listen by opening our inner self to God's voice.